It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and online at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegebright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
The penalty statute up until July 1, 2014 did say that if an employer who was required to have coverage under the law was uninsured, they could be penalized between $500 and $5,000. The General Assembly this year changed the law. It had not been updated in 23 years. And now the penalty amount, if you're found uninsured after July 1, 2014, the uninsured employer who is required to be insured can be penalized up to $250 per day that they're found to be uninsured and subject to a maximum penalty of $50,000.
Laura Collins, an attorney and insurance manager at the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission, explains the uninsured workers provision and the new penalties faced by non-compliant employers. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll find out what 5,300 people learned in the last calendar quarter. You may be able to file a do-it-yourself divorce using an online tool from Legal Aid. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 244, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. www.valegalaid.org is a free website that offers legal self-help information in the civil law areas that low and moderate income Virginians most often confront. Among other things, you can create your own uncontested no-fault divorce documents using an online guided interview if you have been separated long enough and there aren't any disputes. The documents are created through Law Help Interactive. You can access it by going to valegalaid.org/divorce. Once you go to that page, simply click the green box beside Do-It-Yourself Divorce, and it will take you to the Law Help Interactive No-Fault Divorce interview site, where you will begin the process of creating your materials for the No-Fault Divorce packet. The program asks simple questions and uses your answers to create the legal forms you need. With the click of a mouse, you can find legal definitions and other helpful information. Along with the documents generated for filing for your no-fault divorce, the program provides a packet of detailed instructions to help you navigate the divorce process. If at any point during the interview the program tells you that you do not qualify to use it, the program will direct you to the Legal Aid Hotline, 866-534-5243. You can save your work and go back to it later on. Just be sure that you create an account when you are first directed to Law Help Interactive and that you have an email address. The program will keep your work confidential by allowing you to create and use a password to get back to anything you save. This program can be used only for the simplest divorces. If your divorce is complicated, the program will not let you proceed, but instead will direct you to your local legal aid office. You may be able to file for an uncontested no-fault divorce if you have lived physically separate and apart from your spouse for either 6 months if you do not have any children under the age of 18 and have signed a written separation agreement resolving all other issues relating to your marriage, or you have been separated for 1 year if you and your spouse have minor children, even if you have entered into a written separation agreement. The separation must be continuous, without interruption, without cohabitation, and with the intent that the separation be permanent. In a no-fault divorce, you do not have to prove that your spouse did something wrong, like adultery or desertion. Nearly 5,300 people used this tool in the second quarter of 2014, almost double the usage from the first quarter. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the Workers' Compensation Commission in Richmond, and we're talking with Laura Collins. She is an attorney with and insurance manager for the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission, and we will be talking with her today about uninsured workers and uninsured employers. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, you tell our listening audience, first of all, exactly what is workers' compensation?
Well, workers' compensation is mandatory insurance for most employers all over the country. It's mandatory in 49 states. It's present in all 50 states. And it is mandatory insurance coverage. That means employers that are required by law to have it must have it. And the coverage requirements vary in every state. In Virginia, I will get into the coverage requirements later, but it actually was created as a compromise. It actually benefits both injured workers and employers. It provides injured workers prompt but limited benefits, and for employers, it provides them a shield from civil suit. They can't be sued in court, and the payout that they pay out through their insurance carriers is limited to only the statutory benefits, much less than would be paid out in a civil case.
But I gather that in most cases, these disputes are settled between the employee and the employer without the necessity of lengthy proceedings, and that's one of the advantages to the system to both parties?
That's true. Actually, the employer is usually not involved in any of the disputes because they're insured. The insurance carrier, the attorney for the insurance carrier, the adjuster for the insurance carrier actually is involved in the dispute. The employer is really quite removed from the system. So that's actually one of the difficulties, is the employer purchases their insurance through an insurance agent. They rely heavily on what the insurance agent tells them as to whether coverage is required or not. And then if there's a claim, they have to rely entirely on the claims professional to handle the claim and manage the claim and take care of the injured worker. So the employer is quite removed, and a lot of times they have very limited information about workers' compensation.
And I guess part of your job is possibly to educate those insurance companies and carriers as to what their rights and responsibilities are?
We try to provide some outreach to employers, employer groups. I do some trainings to insurance agents. The commission does an annual claim professional adjusters training. And so, yes, we do outreach to all kinds of different entities. There's so many different parties and people involved. And the commission does try to reach out to all of them. But there are so many different players that they all need to be on top of their game.
Now, you mentioned that the benefits are limited, but the compensation for that is that at least they are prompt, certainly much more prompt than a lawsuit between the parties would be. So just in general terms, what are the benefits that are available, and how quickly are they generally provided to an injured worker?
That's a good question, because a lot of employers think they don't really understand the benefit of workers' comp, because they think it might just be medical coverage. And it's really four main benefits: medical benefits for the work injury, to treat what is reasonably necessary to treat the work injury. Then the second main benefit is lost wage compensation, which is roughly two-thirds of the worker's average weekly wage. If a medical doctor says that they are disabled from work, and that's based on medical evidence. And the third benefit is if the worker has some kind of permanent partial impairment, some kind of functional impairment for the rest of their life. And again, if a doctor indicates that, then they're awarded permanent partial impairment benefits for a certain period of time to compensate them for that functional loss. And the fourth benefit, in the terrible event of a work fatality, the dependents of the deceased worker are entitled to what we call death benefits or dependent benefits for a significant period of time to compensate them for the lost earnings of the deceased worker. So there's quite a number of benefits depending on the nature and severity of the injured worker's injury.
And I know it's hard to generalize, but how quickly are these various forms of benefits provided to an injured worker, especially if there's really no dispute that the injury arose out of and in the course of the worker's employment?
Not all injuries that occur at work are covered injuries. Virginia has very specific law on what is a covered injury. But if there's no dispute that it is a covered injury and it's a good insurance carrier, certainly the medicals are covered right away. Injured workers aren't supposed to get medical bills at all for a work injury. And lost wages are, once they start receiving them, which is within a few weeks, they receive them regularly. Permanent partial impairment benefits, that would not occur unless months or a couple of years down the road, when they're at a medical end result, when they've healed as much as they're going to heal and recovered as much as they're going to recover. But that would be continuous with their lost wage benefits, so there would be no break in benefits.
And so that our listening audience knows, if a person is injured at work and they think that it is a work-related injury, what are the things that the worker needs to do?
Well, they need to report promptly their work injury to their supervisor, to their employer. And they don't always know to do this. The employer should always instruct workers who to report to, how to report promptly. These are the kind of things that I always educate on when I talk to employers. You need to have a reporting process. They need to know who to report to. It's very important to report work injuries promptly. And if an employer doubts that somebody's injured, it's still important to report these injuries, because the claims professional or insurance adjuster needs to be the one to investigate injuries and accept the claim or deny it. So it's still important to report. In Virginia, we have a rule that the employer is supposed to pick a panel of physicians. The employer should share who the panel of physicians is. If there isn't a panel, the injured worker can go anywhere. But if there's a panel of physicians, they have to go to one of the panel of physicians' doctors, and they should treat promptly. They should get the medical treatment they need. It's very important to get the proper medical care and follow doctors' directions. So those are the things the injured worker should do. As the claim goes on, there's all kinds of rules about, you know, if the doctor says you can return to work, it's important to follow all the guidelines as to following light duty restrictions, that kind of thing.
And what about filing a claim in writing with the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission?
Virginia it's called an award state. It's very important for, even though the claim is reported usually by the employer to the insurance carrier, and the insurance carrier actually reports it to the commission electronically in most cases. If that does not happen, then the injured worker can report the claim to the commission themselves. But in all cases, regardless of whether the employer and carrier report it, the injured worker is always required to file the claim themselves. It's to protect their rights, and they will be receiving notices from the commission when the claim is reported to file their claim for what benefits they feel they are entitled to. And if they don't do that, even if they do receive benefits, even if they receive medical care or lost wage benefits, they might receive them for a period of time, but the insurance carrier can just stop paying them if the injured worker hasn't filed their claim for benefits. Their right to those benefits can lost once the statute of limitations runs.
And what is that limitations period during which they have to file that claim with the Workers' Compensation Commission?
The statute of limitations in Virginia is 2 years. So they do need to file their claim for benefits within 2 years.
Okay, so earlier you spoke about workers' compensation being mandatory in Virginia for almost all employers. So for which employers is workers' compensation insurance coverage mandatory?
Most folks in Virginia are aware that coverage is required if you have more than two workers that work part-time or full-time. But where it gets a little tricky is that not everyone realizes just who is an employee, how broad an employee is defined. And the other piece is that we have one particular law, the statutory employer law, that adds to coverage requirements when a business or a person hires another business or person to assist them in their work or to fulfill a contract. Then they have to count the other business's employees just as if they were their very own. So that very much broadens the definition of an employer. So when you look at who's required to have coverage, you have to consider the definition of what's an employee in Virginia and the definition of what's an employer. And an employee includes all executive officers. So a little business that thinks they're doing themselves a favor, setting up a corporation with mom and dad as corporate officers and son John as the secretary treasurer, they've automatically set themselves up to need workers' comp coverage, even if one or more of them aren't earning pay or performing work for the corporation, because they've just set themselves up with three executive officers. And executive officers under Virginia law, under Virginia workers' comp law, are automatically employees. Even if you're illegally employed, even if you're a minor working for the business, all of these factors, these are all employees. So you have to understand who's an employee to know who to count for coverage requirements. And then when you get into the statutory employer law, that law where if you hire another business to help you in your work, such as subcontracting out, and you have to count the subcontractor's employees, that is tremendously broad. You look at all the construction, a business that hires any other business to help them. You run a store and you regularly hire a janitorial service or something like that. You do this regularly, or you're a college and you hire cafeteria workers and you hire housekeepers. These are all statutory employees. They all need to be counted just as if they were your very own employees. Now, if these businesses have their own coverage, that's wonderful. You should gather proof of coverage for them. You're not charged insurance premium for them. That's why it's not double coverage. But you need to count them for figuring out if you've hit that magic number three employees for needing coverage. So a lot of employers who have no direct employees, who just subcontract out, actually need workers' compensation coverage.
And you mentioned earlier in your answer that it doesn't matter if they're full-time employees or part-time employees, to be considered a, quote, employee to count toward that magic number of three? Are there any minimum number of hours per week or in wages per week? Or is it they got paid, they're an employee no matter how little they worked, no matter how little they earned?
That's a good question. No, it doesn't matter how many hours they work. They can be very part-time. It could be their first day on the job. They can be temporary workers, seasonal workers. There's case law out there where it's a moving truck coming into Virginia for one day, and the workers are working for one day, and they're found to be needing workers' comp, Virginia workers' comp coverage.
What happens to an employer who meets that test, who has the magic number of three or more employees, and they don't have insurance? I understand there are new penalties for those employers. Would you tell our audience about that?
The penalty statute up until July 1, 2014, did say that if an employer who was required to have coverage under the law was uninsured, they could be penalized between $500 and $5,000. The General Assembly this year changed the law. It had not been updated in 23 years. And now the penalty amount, if you're found uninsured after July 1, 2014, the uninsured employer who is required to be insured can be penalized up to $250 per day that they're found to be uninsured and subject to a maximum penalty of $50,000. These are steep penalties. We've worked hard at the commission to try to get the word out. We're sending out penalty notice flyer with the cancellation notices that go out to employers whose policy has recently canceled, just to try to get that out. We've sent out quite a few press releases. We've taken a bunch of steps to try to get the word out. But because the penalties are steep, we simply wish for the employers who are required to have coverage obtain the coverage, because we don't want to issue penalties. We just want employers to obtain the proper coverage.
And if an employer has any question about whether they are or are not covered, whether they hit that magic target of three employees or not, is this some query they can pose to the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission?
Absolutely. Anyone can call the insurance department of the commission and ask us questions. We can't give legal advice or advisory opinions, but we can listen and ask questions and provide some general guidance as to who is required to have coverage, what the law says, and the number for the insurance department of the commission is 804-205-3586, and our hours are 8:30 a.m. to 4:45 p.m. We do welcome people calling us and asking us questions, because we are here to assist the public.
And the last thing I wanted to ask you about was, what happens if a employer is supposed to have insurance and they don't, and one of their injured workers files a claim and it is indeed a work-related accident that arose out of and in the course of employment? How does, first of all, the employee get the benefits? And secondly, what happens to the employer who was supposed to have insurance and didn't?
In all cases, an injured worker should file a claim, and the claim will be adjudicated on its facts. The commission will look at the facts of the work injury, the facts of the work relationship, and if the employer didn't have insurance, the injured worker should be able to have it looked at. However, if the employer wasn't required to be covered, if they did not have three or more employees, that won't be a valid workers' comp claim. But that might not be determined until it goes to court, until it goes to a hearing. But if the employer is found to have had three or more employees and to be an employer under the Act, there's something called the Uninsured Employers Fund, and that takes care of an injured worker who has a valid workers' comp claim. And the Uninsured Employers Fund may be ordered to pay within a short time. So there is the Uninsured Employers Fund, we call it the UEF. They take care of the claims where there is an uninsured employer, so there's a fund for that.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We have been speaking with Laura Collins. She is an attorney with and insurance manager for the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission, speaking about the insurance requirements for employers in Virginia and the new civil penalties that can be applied to employers who are required to have insurance but do not have it. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Marty.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Student loan debt in the U.S. now tops $1 trillion. Join us next week when consumer law attorney Jason Crumbine explains about federal and private student loans, your legal rights about federal student loans, and what to do if you have trouble repaying a federal student loan, in a rebroadcast of a show originally heard on March 13, 2013. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegwert.